Welcome, spring. Let's spring clean our iPads and iPhones.
And send crazy art cards.
Also, I have a glowing orb.
I knew you did. It's time for iOS Today.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
iOS Today is brought to you by Roman. Skip the waiting room and awkward face-to-face. Get ED medication conveniently delivered to your door in discreet, unmarked packaging. For a free online doctor visit, go to getroman.com/iOS today. And by WordPress. Turn your dreams into reality and launch your website at wordpress.com. Get 15% off any new plan at wordpress.com/twit. iOS Today time. Hello, Megan Maroney.
Hello, Leo Laporte.
It's a rare sun's gone over the yard arm edition of iOS Today.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing it a day early because tomorrow Google is going to make some sort of fakatka announcement about a gaming device or a gaming service. We don't know what. We're going to stream that live. And so we had to move iOS Today to Monday.
Mm-hmm.
But that shouldn't impact you at all. Because you're not even watching this, are you?
Well, hopefully you are. I mean, usually when the sun's over the yard arm, that means it's time for a gin and tonic.
A little martini poo.
But we're staying sober for you.
Just for you. And no, the sun has not gone over the yard arm and I don't drink. So there you have it. Today on iOS Today, we are going to talk about our iOS devices, which might be, in fact, the iPad. It might be the iPhone. It might be the Apple Watch or the Apple TV. But I think mostly today it's going to be the iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Today's spring cleaning day.
Yes, we're going to spring clean our devices.
Spring's just a few days away, four days away. In the north, we call that, what do we call that, John? It's not the
winter? It's winter?
Equinox. It's or is it? Is it
the vernal equinox?
Mm-hmm. I knew Vernal, and he was a great guy. The whole equinox family was wonderful. Now, in the southern hemisphere, it's the autumnal equinox. But whatever equinox you're celebrating, we've got a tip for you.
Okay, so first of all, it used to be really...
that was subliminal. There was a little subliminal something in there.
That's how we make the real money on this show, the subliminal messages.
Yes.
It used to be difficult to manage your storage. But each new iOS device has made things more easy.
First thing you should do, absolutely, is clean up that extra stuff.
Manage storage section. So let's go straight to manage storage, which I said was so easy to find. I'm just going to search for it. General storage.
That is by itself a great tip.
Yes, search for.
Use the search,
just
Luke.
In general, apparently. Okay, so... I have 2.62 gigabytes of 64 gigabytes used. I have a lot of room on here, but I want to still review some large attachments. I haven't checked this recently, so let's cover that up to make sure.
Oh, boy.
Okay, that's fine. You can come back. I don't know what would have been there.
Nothing
bad. Rather bitmojis.
Yeah.
So there's all of these, first, all of these images that people have sent to me or that I have sent to myself. First of all, I was showing off my 70s outfit for a big party that I went to over the weekend. I don't need that clogging up my stuff. So, you know, I just delete it. And I can search by, I guess this is organized by how big it is. Yeah. So the biggest here, what the heck is that? Oh, here's a video I took of myself dancing. I'm not really, you can't really see me. You can.
So my, first tip for you is let somebody else shoot the video of you dancing.
So,
what were you thinking here?
I was Rickrolling. Can you hear the song? Maybe we need to turn it up a little bit. It was playing on the HomePod and the.
Everybody was playing all over the house.
Yeah,
it was kind of like a multi-role.
Now that we've made this part of iOS Today, and it's I can just
let's delete that.
Yeah,
you've done with that.
Megabytes.
That was way back in February.
So yeah, I can.
That's not a huge savings.
No, but then you go through here and you look at all of your apps. that you've used. So photos, that's going to be the biggest. This is also organized by biggest use of space, biggest hog to smallest hog. But you can also see the last time you used it. So, and here's an app that I downloaded called Plantail, and it's taken up this much space, and I've never even used it. So I'm going to delete that. I could offload it, so that would just keep get it off the iPad,
this is
or
a
I could delete it.
This is a pet peeve of mine. I don't turn this on, this ability to offload unused apps. Mm. And this is something Apple added fairly recently. It's watching your usage. And if you don't use an app frequently enough, they just delete it from your system. And then you have a little puffy cloud on the icon. And if you want to run that program, you have to be somewhere where you can download it. And you have to wait for it to download and install. And I don't like that at all.
You don't.
If I have an app on my iPad, it's there because I might be using it. I want it there. I think what Apple found is that a lot of people have very full devices, mm-hmm. and they're trying to help you.
Right. So where do you turn that off, offloading apps? Where do you think?
Well, I notice on mine, because I have it disabled, it's offering to enable it, which I don't want to
do. Oh, that's in your storage.
That's in the storage, setting, yeah. General storage.
Why can't I find storage?
On the right, in the column on the right, where it says iPad storage.
Oh, right there, under General, iPad storage. Oh, got it. I see General.
And,
yeah, I already have that.
Yeah, but you could, if you hit that button
to
the right, I think you could turn that off if you wanted to.
The button to the right.
Oh, there isn't. Oh, you don't have that.
Yeah.
Review large attachments. You don't have that, huh?
But I could offload it. It didn't offload it itself, but
yeah.
Or I could just delete it.
You do have offloading turned on, apparently.
Yeah,
so.
Apparently I do. So this is a good place to just go through your apps.
Yeah, delete stuff. And you'll see there, it's sorted by size. So you'll see that some of your apps mm-hmm. are quite large.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm a little miffed here.
Why?
Because I have what I thought would be so much storage on my iPad Pro, I'd never use it up.
Oh, yeah, look at you.
I have used 251 of 256 gigabytes.
What have you? Let's check yours out. What are you using?
All that red is apps.
Oh, you got to do some spring cleaning.
But it
there.
Says if I offload unused apps, I'm only going to save 15 gigabytes. 100 gigabytes for Lightroom. That's including the data, by the way. Mm-hmm. So the app is 200 megabytes, but I have a lot of Lightroom photos, 100 gigabytes of photos. So that's probably, I don't want to offload that one. That's one where I would probably clean up the photos, except I don't want to. TV is a good one. In fact, you'll see that if I look up above review downloaded videos, when I travel, I like to put movies downloaded from Netflix, Amazon Prime, and other places. I like to put them on my iPad. There's 10 gigabytes right there that I could get rid of. In fact, 50 gigabytes total in my TV app. I think I should delete that stuff. That's too big. That's probably a big portion.
But does it let you delete the stuff or just the whole app? If you go into
I can review. Oddly, though, it's when I review downloaded videos, it says save up to 9.28 gigs. So, I guess what I could do is just delete the whole app. The data would go with it. And there's iTunes videos, or I should just go through all my iTunes videos and remove them. I'm not going to do that now, but that's the kind of thing. Some people will notice. In this case, I'm pleased to say I don't have a lot. There's a gray thing called Other. How much Other do you have in yours? Because this used to be a big problem on iOS. Other is cached stuff from, for instance, messages, cached images and things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that Other can be massive.
Looks like mine is massive. It's almost as much as the apps.
But there's no way to get rid of it, short of reformatting and reinstalling your mm-hmm. iPad, which no one really wants to do. Mm-hmm. Though this is kind of an issue. The best recommendation I can make... Notice, by the way, mine's small, probably because I'm running out of room, and mm-hmm. so it probably, this is a cache, so it deleted whatever it could. It's not a bad idea to go into messages and delete old messages, especially old attachments, because those can, that's what a lot of Other is, mm-hmm. and those can really save you some space. So I'm going to, I didn't realize, I'm glad we did this spring cleaning. I got a lot of cruft in here, mostly apps, but a considerable amount of media as well.
Wait, do you listen to Audible on your iPad?
I do.
Oh.
So I have audiobooks on here, and I don't want to delete those. You know why I listen on my iPad? It's got the best speakers of mm-hmm. any of my portable devices, especially the iPad Pro. The sound is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, instead of carrying a speaker around when I go, stay away from home and hotels and stuff, I just turn my iPad up, and it's pretty good. It's almost as good as a standalone speaker.
Huh. Yeah, I only listen on my phone or my Amazon.
If you have headphones, yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, that's why I got 256 gigs. I'm actually shocked to see how much of that 256 gigs has been eaten up. And so this is a good segment. I'm glad we're doing some spring cleaning.
Get out the broom.
There's another thing you might want to do. I do this regularly on both my computer and my mobile devices. Go to the Wi-Fi section. Mm. And you may notice it remembers Wi-Fis you joined. This is the hotel we were in last week, the Balboa Bay Club. I don't need that there. Mm-mm. I don't even know whose D-Link this is. You can forget things that you're not going to use again. These are ones I can see.
I have D-Link too.
You know what? This is in our studio. So
yeah, that's just...
If you have remembered some, you can delete the ones you've remembered. I guess you can't do this on the iPad. It doesn't...
You could forget the
network. It
doesn't
remember them. You can if you've... If you remembered it, you could forget it. But yeah. I guess I've already done this cleaning on this. And certainly here's why you want to do that. Not because it takes up space, but because, honestly, I don't think it's a good idea to join networks without explicitly saying, yes, I want to be on that network. So it's a good idea periodically to go through your Wi-Fi networks. In fact, I would turn on the delete ones that you don't want to join. I turn off ask to join networks because I don't like to be bothered, but notice at the bottom it says known networks will be joined automatically, and that's where you can get into trouble. For instance, there's a big problem with Xfinity in our area because Xfinity, anybody who subscribes to Comcast has an Xfinity router, shares their Wi-Fi, and if you've ever joined it once, you will attempt to join it every time you see it, and in many cases, there isn't any internet on that.
Right.
It's just an access point that's open. And so it can actually make it impossible to get online with your device. So because I have LTE in this device, I generally don't want to join networks I haven't explicitly said, let's join that network.
Yeah, forget those.
Forget them. Same thing with Bluetooth. If you have a lot of Bluetooth devices, I don't. Because I adhere to my advice and I have periodically gone through here and cleared that old stuff out.
Okay, the next thing I want to do to clear up, we want to clean up our living room. And by that, I mean our desktop, our home page.
That's your living room?
Yeah. What do you call it? This is just our desktop, right? Or do you call it a desktop or a home page?
I don't know. You're the host of the show. What do you call it?
You didn't know there were new iPads out an hour ago.
Oh, shh. There's the new iPads are here. We'll talk about those in a little bit.
Okay, I call this my home screen.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
And first of all,
it used to make more sense when you had a home button.
Right, exactly. I call this my Face ID screen.
Yeah.
And first of all, I hate badges. They are the bane of my existence.
You know, it's so funny, great minds. First thing I do is go into the notifications and I reconfigure all the notifications.
Yes.
The default, which is to bug you as much as possible, is not the best choice.
Right. So I only
badges are part of notifications.
Yeah. I only have notifications on a couple. I only just recently downloaded Google Photos on this.
And you see the default was to turn that on,
yes,
but you don't want that.
No. So we're going to notifications and we're going to go straight to Google Photos. Is it under photos? Where is it?
Under notifications, unfortunately. This is another thing.
Yes, we're under notifications.
Oh, I see. You're saying what's the name of it? Yeah, I think it's just photos.
Google Photos. There we go.
Oh, okay.
And so I don't
This is the default, which is turning everything on.
Yeah, so I want the other notifications because sometimes like Anthony will share photos for a segment we're working on or something. So I want to be notified of that. If someone joins an album that I've shared,
this is why you want to go in here.
Right.
The default is the Google Photos when you install it, the first time you launch it, allow notifications. And if you don't want any, you can say no. But most of the time you do want certain notifications in a certain way. You don't maybe want sounds or you don't want badges, but maybe you want a notification when somebody shares something with you, that kind of thing. So it's a good idea to configure those manually. What I usually do, and I actually got this, I was inspired by an article on how to get your phone from to stop bugging you.
Mm.
What I usually do is I just go off, turn off all notifications and then granularly go through one by one and re-enable.
Yeah, that's a good idea. And you can also look at the ones that you have, like...
look at you. You've got notifications galore.
I know. Well, I mean, it's messages from my husband and daughter and
See,
son.
Honestly, so I feel like that all of those notifications dilute the ones you really want. So, for instance, I don't want email notifications,
right,
but I do want text notifications because those are from family and friends. So if you don't clean up your notifications, you're going to actually miss important notifications, right. I think.
Exactly. So here's this Poshmark notification. Poshmark is the app.
You don't want Poshmark notifications.
No, I don't. So I just click it, and then I say deliver quietly or turn off. I'm just going to turn those off. I don't want them. Turn off all notifications.
Yeah.
Goodbye. The end. No more.
And that's why I don't know there was new iPads, because... I turned off all the notifications.
Right. And I get these, I get news notifications too that I don't want.
So I pick one news. Oh, wait a minute. Something new about Game of Thrones?
Yes.
Oh, that's important.
No, it's not.
Okay. So what I do is I do want like critical news notifications. So what I do is I pick one news app, and I don't actually like Apple News.
Yeah.
I will usually pick like the New York Times, CNN, pick one news app, say turn on critical notifications for that, and everything else I've got turned off. Because I don't want 15 notifications that Apple has new iPads.
So one thing that inspired me, besides just loving spring, one thing that inspired me to do this was that I got a warning that my Google Drive was almost full.
Oh, I hate it when that happens.
Yeah. And so that is email, that's Google Photos, and it's documents and everything that you have. So you can clean that up right through the Google Drive app. So here's the Google Drive app, and this is, and I have, you go to storage used. So storage used means... That's the least storage used, but here's the most storage used. So here's this beautiful video of my teenager.
No, I am Huck.
I'm not going to delete that.
That's not modern day Huck.
No.
That's latter day Huck.
He's so adorable
and little.
And I'm going to keep that.
Oh, yeah. You don't definitely want to keep that.
But I want it to go away. How do I make it go away?
Go away, Huck. Don't tell him you said that.
Some more videos that I want to keep. But then I've gone through here and just that.
Oh, that was a good day, wasn't it?
That was a good day.
That was the day I almost biffed it on the Lombard crookedest street in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a...
It's rain and taco.
Here's a video of my daughter and my dad. I'm not going to get rid of that.
I thought that was you and me. I was a little scared, to be honest. I don't remember that moment.
So... Let me just, there we go. So I can go through here and just look at all the documents that I have. There's the novel that someday I'll finish writing.
Don't delete that.
No.
What's it about?
You, obviously.
It's about a naive young broadcaster who is lured into the world of a spider.
Yeah. And so I can just go here and delete stuff.
Her innocence lost.
Yes. And... Go through. I wish it were easier. I wish there were a way to just get rid of stuff more easily.
You have the contract I made you sign, right?
Yeah. Did you see that as I was going through? There is a contract.
just call me Mr. Gray.
And then I could go through Google Photos too. But you know, you can get rid of stuff more.
Here's the Black Diamond version.
Oh, I need to know the Black Diamond version.
So, and this is really most important on your phone where you're taking a lot of pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Apple has a way to manage this. You can turn on iCloud Photos, and Apple will move originals into the iCloud where they're safe, and then put essentially thumbnails, lower quality images on your phone suitable for the screen. So if it's the iPad, it'll be better quality than the phone, but suitable for your screen. So you always have... an icon, but it saves space because it moves the bigger original photo off. That's one way to do it.
But this is Google Photos.
And that's why I'm going to say that while you might want to do that, you do have to pay for storage.
Mm-hmm.
And Apple, you know, gets kind of expensive after a while when you're paying for iCloud storage because it's where backups are, photos, everything is stored there. So that's why I like the idea of using Google Photos. You might want to use both if your photos are really important. But on every iOS device, I install Google Photos, and you turn on the sync to the cloud feature of Google Photos. That's going to make a copy of everything you put on your phone, every picture you take, every video you take. It's going to make a, they say, reduced quality. And people sometimes get concerned by that. I don't notice them to be any worse.
Mm-hmm.
They're still JPEGs. They're pretty good quality. If it's a live photo, you're going to lose some of the features that Apple offers exclusively. But I think it's a great backup solution. And then go ahead and show them. The best part of this is...
What's the best part?
There, in the settings of Google Photos, there's a delete backed up photos button.
Oh, okay. Where is that?
Yeah, you know, and it...
Because I think I might have just done that earlier, and then maybe there aren't any backed up photos.
Well, and it may not do it on the iPad. I don't know.
Free up space. Here it is.
Yeah.
Free up space. And so delete 581 items from the device to free up space.
Now, what I love about this is that Google will only delete stuff it knows it has a copy of on the Google servers.
Right. But so, that's solving the problem if I needed space on my iPad, but I need space in my Google storage.
It says it's too soon.
Too soon.
Oh, no. Oh, I know why. Because it's backing up still.
Oh, because you're still
now,
backing up.
So that's the other thing. You saw how that prevented me from deleting anything. It was too soon until it's backed up everything. And now it's going to go through this and find items that are already backed up. And once it does, that's going to save a lot of space. That's not even keeping a thumbnail. You'll still see the image in Google Photos, but if you want to look at the image on your phone, you'll have to tap it and it will have to download. So there's two ways to do that, and depends on how aggressive you want to be about saving space. And I think it's a good idea to have them backed up in two places. I'm not encouraging that you don't, but...
But what you're saying, what I hear you saying is I should start paying for Google storage.
No. Google store... Oh.
Because I'm running out of
space. You're running out. Well, I would... How much space do you have?
I don't know, just the free space. I mean, I could store... We have unlimited space. I could just store it in my Twitter,
yeah,
Google account.
So,
but then you have all my photos.
That's an excellent point. So, does not Google Photo give you unlimited storage for lower quality images? I believe it does.
Well,
yes.
Then, but I'm
so
getting...
So it doesn't impact your Google Drive.
Are you sure? Let me look at the email that I got from Google.
I think it's talking about other stuff.
This is a really good question.
So it's my understanding, and the reason I'm a little confused is because I also have a Pixel phone, which gives you free unlimited storage of high quality images if you have one of Google's phones. Amazon, another good choice if you're an Amazon Prime member, they do offer unlimited storage. Again, they're going to be a little compressed, but not badly. So actually, I think Amazon Prime gives you an original backup. And that's free if you're an Amazon Prime member.
I don't know. They might have gotten rid of that recently. But okay, so here's the email. You can show this, Kevin. You're almost out of storage. You're using 16.42 gigabytes, 97% of the 17 gigabytes of storage available on your Google account. Which is shared across Drive, Gmail, and Photos. Once it's full, you won't be able to store new files, and you may not be able to send and receive emails.
If you want it to store full quality, it will go against your Google Drive. So you must be doing something with full quality or something like that.
Maybe. Because that's where I have 8.55 gigabytes of Google Photos. I mean, I could clean out my Gmail, too.
That's a lot.
7.74. So I could go through Gmail. One thing I've started doing is you go through and you search for just movie files because someone might have sent you a movie or something. You want to delete that. Let's go into my Google Photos settings and see what
changed.
I think they changed it.
No.
But settings.
I'm pretty sure you still get unlimited reduced quality.
Remove video from motion. Remove geolocation. Google Drive.
You may be doing something that's putting higher quality images up there, perhaps.
Manage. Free up space. Original. Remove original photos and videos from your device that are already backed up. Limit cache size. Fewer thumbnails.
Yeah, you don't want to store... Okay, there's a setting, and that's the problem. You're storing original photos.
Where? But where's that setting?
Probably on your Google account if it's not on that app. That would be my guess, because original photos do have a quota.
All right, then. You know, I wonder if it has to do with going back and forth between Google, because I was using Jason's Google Pixel, which is you can store whatever, high quality.
Yeah,
whatever.
If you own a Google device, then it lets you sell full quality.
Yeah.
And you may still be storing full quality.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I don't know. How do you tell? Is there something in the settings here that I can...
Yeah, you may have to do it online.
Info.
Oh, how do you tell if it's full quality?
Yeah, 5.9 megapixels, 631 kilobytes. I don't know. It's also bizarre how it immediately picked out the faces of my family and got them.
That's
right.
That's why I love Google Photos. It's interesting, the image of you that it decided was the kind of canonical image of Megan.
With the flowers.
With the flowers in your hair, yeah.
But it is really, to me, and why, like, the picture of her from 5 years ago. It's very shocking. Anyway, shall we move on?
Yeah, certainly photos are the number one thing that fill up your iPhone, and they may even be filling up your iPad. So it's a good idea to come up with a photo storing strategy. And I think there are many ways to get those photos off. Google Photos is one, but Amazon Prime, if you're an Amazon Prime member, that's a great deal. Flickr, if you're a Flickr Pro member. There are a lot of ways to get rid of those photos. And then, of course, there's always Apple's iCloud storage. And so that's key. That's key. Google Photos settings, backup and sync, says Scooter X on your iPad. Google Photos, backup and sync. You want to move on, clearly.
No, no, we can. No, I would be happy to know. Okay, Google, I want it. This is for me.
No, this is, I got to do, this is big.
Okay, Google Photos, backup and sync. Where? Backup and sync.
Settings, backup and sync.
Upload size, high quality, free unlimited storage. You guys, I have it on high quality, free unlimited storage.
But you had been storing, I think that the photos you have on there that's using against your quota are not those. There's some other photos, high quality somehow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I did do the review of the Moment lenses that we're going to show.
Oh, and that's going to be. Yeah, you took a lot of photos. Yeah.
Of Anthony.
And you might be storing the original images. Yeah.
They're good photos, though.
What a good looking fella. Does he work for us?
Yeah, he does.
Oh, nice. I was going to say, we should hire him.
She works for us. Batman works for us.
Is that you with the flowers in your hair?
Yep.
Yeah. That's nice.
All right. Shall we move on?
Yes. Okay. Other cleanup tips.
Okay.
What are you cleaning up now?
My mail.
Gmail.
Yes. This is an app called Happy Mail.
Bugs me because the whole premise of Gmail. Oh, looks like somebody just ordered something from Apple.
Yeah, that was me on your credit card.
The whole premise of Gmail was never delete any email because it'll be a database of your history of life. But if you have a lot of email, you could fill up your quota. Mm-hmm. You don't have enough quota. I would say buy more Google Drive.
Yeah, well, it's definitely cheaper.
It's very cheap.
Than iCloud storage, which I also buy. Yeah. But okay, so this is an app called Happy Mail.
Happy Mail.
And this is just sort of a triage. It works with Gmail. And what it is, it's sort of like a Tinder but for your Gmail.
I wouldn't mind deleting like a lot of the the stupid newsletters I get because I once signed up for a shoe store or something like that. I wouldn't mind getting rid of that stuff.
This is just sort of to clear up your clutter so that you can get your mail. So here, so if I swipe to the left, I can archive this. And if I swipe to the right, I can trash it. And if I swipe down, then I can delete it. So this is my order of iPad mini. I want to just archive that so that I can look it up. Here is a newsletter about deepening my understanding of human anatomy. I don't need that. Trash. I'll keep that. I don't want to celebrate the equinox. I'll trash that. I'm testing a Lenovo device, so I'll archive that. Then archive that. There's a security alert. I'll archive that. A library notice. An email.
I don't even like this because you're liable to delete something you wish you hadn't.
No.
I would prefer to use some sort of programmatic system. For instance, do a filter on everything that says unsubscribe in the body of the message because those are going to be newsletters.
Oh, that's smart.
And then just put those in a folder and delete everything in that folder.
Oh.
Things like that, I think you're more likely to get more stuff and less likely to delete stuff you really want to keep. Than swiping back and forth.
I like this because I'd like to do inbox zero. So this gets quickly.
See, I don't believe in inbox zero. I want to have every mail ever sent to me in case I need somebody's phone number. I've got to go back and find something. I think that's handy.
I like swiping. It feels like I'm dating my email. Swipe right on that. I've got some more tips that I hope you will enjoy. This is an app that I've shown before. I know you just talked about how to manage your iPhone photos, but this is an app that I like to use called Purge.
Purge.
And so here you can show
my
photos.
This photo does not spark joy and just boom.
Exactly.
It's gone.
So I will click select here, and then here's like there's two of those photos. I'm going to select that. Here's some photos of my shoes I don't need, my desktop, some more stuff. Like, I don't need so many photos of my friend Misty. Those are dark. I don't need those. This purse, I don't need those. These Snapchat filters, I don't need those. You get the idea?
Get the idea.
And then, wait a second, listen closely. I'm going to press this little cat here, and you're going to listen. Ready to purge. Yes, purge. Did you hear the cat sounds? Why didn't you hear
Maybe
the
it's
cat
still
sounds?
Purging.
Okay, I'll delete. Here, let's try that again. Ready to Oh, did you?
Oh, it's a very quiet purr. Yeah, that's very satisfying.
Mm-hmm. And then, so purge to clean out your photo. That's I like fun ways. Spring cleaning can be fun. It doesn't have to be just all search for unsubscribe and delete everything.
You remember that time you thought you'd watch every Harry Potter movie in a row?
Yes.
Remember that time?
Mm-hmm.
And you downloaded all of them onto your iPad?
Mm-hmm.
And then you thought, well, this went so well. Let me download all the Star Wars mm-hmm. movies on my iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know why there's 42 gigabytes of crap on my iPad. But maybe you can help me, Ms. Marie Kondo Maroney.
Mm-hmm. Well, delete them. You don't need them.
How do I delete them?
Well, you through manage storage.
And they say, I want to delete it right here when I'm looking at the movie. But
that,
I don't.
That's weird that you can't do
that. It does seem weird that I can't do that. I'm swiping left. I'm swiping right. I don't want to date Harry Potter. I just want to delete him. There's no trash can. So this is Apple, thanks for making such a fine product.
Downloaded.
I don't know how to get rid of it.
Well,
and by the way, it's not immediately clear. You know, you can go to your library and see all your recently added shows, and it looks like it. My first thought was, good Lord, do I have all of this on my... But no, you have to go to the downloaded section, and then you could find the guilty pleasures.
It's very weird that you can't do that.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I probably have to do it from the storage. But I was wondering, where's those 42? Now I know where they're coming from. There's 9 gigabytes of storage. And we do know, because we saw it, that you can go to iPad storage, and you can go to TV, because this is... Actually, I could even do it this way.
Downloaded videos.
Yeah. So I still wish I knew what this 49 gigabytes of TV is, because it's not just that. So I'm confused. I guess I can review these. Is this where you delete them?
Yeah.
Look at it. Look. Pretty.
You are deleting them.
So that is quite a bit. Each of these movies is like 10 gigabytes.
Goodbye, Harry Potter.
Goodbye, Harry Potter. Goodbye. There's only one good one anyway, the third one.
Mm.
Yeah. Boom. So now I have some room.
Oh, good.
Boom. Room.
Now download all the Star Wars movies.
That's next. See, look at that. I got 201 gigabytes now used. That's a big improvement.
I want to talk about the new iPad mini that you just bought me and the other new iPads.
But I bet
first,
you do.
I want
first,
you
let's make some money.
To thank our sponsor.
Roman. You know what Roman is?
I do.
I am a man. You
yes.
are a woman. When you think of men...
Yes.
And you think of doctors, what do you think?
When I think of
we
men,
don't like to go to doctors.
No, you don't like
we
to
don't
go
want to
doctors.
Talk to
no,
the doctor.
No, you want to pretend like everything's okay,
and
it's fine.
If there is a male problem,
mm-hmm.
and I think you know what I'm talking about.
I do, because I know who our sponsor is.
You don't, it's hard to talk about it with people you know, let alone your doctor. And that's why there's Roman, where you can talk to an actual board-certified physician and get the medications you need. Guys, we are terrible at taking care of our health. You wouldn't, you know, it's funny. If you had a toothache, if you needed a filling, if you had a cavity, you would do what? You would go to the dentist. But if you're having trouble in your love life, for instance,
mm-hmm.
what do guys do? They rub some dirt on it and they keep going, right? They never say ow. You ever
yes.
watch a baseball game? They never say ow. This is true for ED. Studies show this is a kind of sad statistic. 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. The guy who founded Roman, one of the founders, actually had this experience. And he's a young guy, but he'd had heart issues, had heart surgery, and as a result had difficulty in the love department.
Oh.
And he suffered. And you know who else suffers? Mm-hmm. And if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. I'm just saying, your loved ones are suffering too.
Mm-hmm.
So do yourself a favor, do them a favor. Roman was created for a simple, secure, and seamless way to get checked out by a doctor. And by the way, a real, as I said, board-certified doctor in your state. It's a one-stop shop. They will diagnose if you have an issue. They will talk to you about any other issues, by the way, and they have a number of different kinds of treatment. and they will ship the medication to your door discreetly. That means no waiting rooms, no awkward face-to-face conversations, no uncomfortable trips to the pharmacy. Hey, Joey, can I get a price check? No, you don't want that. You don't want that.
No.
With Roman, everything's handled discreetly online. All you have to do is go to the website, getroman.com/iOS today. There's a brief medical onboarding. You will chat with a doctor in your state. By the way, this doctor is going to stay your doctor. So if you have any issues, any questions, or there's anything you want to know, that's your doctor now. Get genuine medication, the best stuff delivered to your door. Price is right, discreet, unmarked packaging. Go online, get checked by a doctor. You're not going to walk around with a toothache. Why walk around with a heartache? ED is a problem guys don't tackle, but with Roman, it's really easy. There's no shame in it. And it, by the way, and take it from me, it really works. It is a great solution. Your heart will be lighter and there'll be a little bounce in your step when you go to work the next day. For a free online visit, and this, we're going to waive the fee, the initial consultation fee, getroman.com/iOS today. So that's going to save you too. Free 2-day delivery too. So if it's an emergency, no online fee, they're waiving it, and 2-day delivery, free, getroman.com/iOS today. Guys, it's an emergency. You can admit it. Getroman.com/iOS today for a free online visit. I am really, actually, people kind of look at me funny when I say, you know, we do ads for these guys, but I believe in their mission wholeheartedly, and I think there's a lot of pain out there. Don't suffer. Getroman.com/iOS today. iPad. So I come into work. I work a whole day. I do some interviews, uh-huh. Make some phone calls. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. I come in here, Megan says, can I get the new iPad? I said, what the hell are you talking about, new iPad? So it's interesting because Mark Gurman tweeted this last week. I even booked Mark it for discussion tomorrow on MacBreak Weekly or today on iOS Today. He said, in order to clear the decks for the next big event, the March 25th event, which is a week from today, right? In order to clear the deck so people wouldn't be thinking, I wonder if there's hardware, he tweeted, I bet you they announced the new iPads this week. And in fact, he was right. Mark knows something.
I was surprised. So this morning, it was very early. Like, I think it was around 6:30 or 7.
Tim Apple tweeted it out.
Yeah, he tweeted out the picture of the iPad mini.
It's kind of cute because he's like, well, it's a picture of him drawing on the iPad mini. Isn't that cute? Wait a minute. I'm looking at it. Holy cow. Wait a minute. Is Tim watching iOS? Tim, hi!
Everything he knows, he learned from us trying to figure out everything we don't know.
No, he didn't tweet that.
No, he tweeted out the hello on the iPad.
Hello.
And I was super excited because this is something, like, I've had a lot of people email me, like, do you think there's going to be an iPad mini? And I, you know.
God, we've been hoping because the mini is a great form factor.
Right, but I just didn't think they would do it again. I just thought it would be too many devices. Too many, like, either, you know, you want an iPad and an iPhone and you don't need anything in between. Like, that's just, you know, too much. But they did, and I think that's great because people love this device. It fits in your hand.
Yes, it does in Tim's.
Yes, right? And you know, people like to read on it. They like to take notes.
This is the most portable iPad, and this is the one I would take traveling and so forth for reading. But look at this. Is he using a pencil?
He's using the Apple Pencil on that, which is new. The iPad Mini came out long before the Pencil came out, and it did not have pencil capabilities. And what I noticed, I was so excited. I tweeted all about it, and then all of a sudden, I realized, like, is that silver band on the Apple Pencil?
Oh, it's not the new one.
Is that the old Apple Pencil? For goodness sakes, why would they do that? And then it makes sense that they would do that because if you're upgrading from an older Apple Pencil, I mean, why would you have just gotten an iPad Pro and then get another iPad Mini with, you know, you probably
I
got to
point
pencil.
Out, they still have the big bezels. Yep. They've got the home button, the fingerprint reader. They didn't do much to redesign this. And so it's kind of it's an iPad. It's the old iPad Pro in a mini form factor, I guess.
Right. But it has innards that are new.
A12 is in there, A12X. Mm-hmm. So that's good. That means it'll be super fast and it'll play all the games you want. I'm sorry, not the A12X, the A12.
The Bionic. Which means nothing. That's just a marketing term. It's not actual Bionic.
It doesn't
like
have
the Bionic Man.
It even has a Courage port.
Yes, it
which
does.
Is awesome. That's the headphone. That's what we wags like to call the headphone mm-hmm. jack.
6.1 millimeters like thickness or thinness, as they probably would like you to say. 7.9 inch retina display.
It's still an LCD. It's still retina. And the price is right, $399. Now, it's not the least expensive iPad. There's one that's $329. Mm-hmm. But I think this is going to be very popular with the kids. It's a good size, a good form factor. I'm a little disappointed that I feel like Apple should have made everything the new Pro form factor, but okay, I understand.
If they had done that, people would have complained. You know, they would have said, like, another device I can't afford. All they want to do is raise the prices on everything.
You know, they did this. It reminds me of the iPod. When the iPod was a mature product, they started shipping different versions of the iPod to hit every price point. Mm-hmm. So that you can get a $79 iPod up to a $600 iPod. And I think that's what they're doing with the iPad now. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
So it's, you can get, this was an interesting, you can also get the cell version for $529.
That's typical, $129 extra for LTE.
And I got a question a couple weeks ago from Steve in Albuquerque, and he said his son is in eighth grade and he inherited his iPad mini and uses it for school because it's a great size for that. It's old, so it doesn't update and some apps struggle and can't be used. I'm planning on getting him the new one. And I'd love to hear, I have one feature that I'd love to have that I haven't heard about is for Apple to turn on the cell radio so that it can double as a phone. And so I thought this was interesting. And they did do this.
No, they didn't.
But you can get cell, you can't use it as a phone.
It's data only. So it's not a phone. It doesn't have a phone number.
But he could use iMessage.
He could use Messenger, Facebook Messenger, iMessage, WhatsApp. He could use any data-based system to make a phone call. And if you got a Google Voice number, you could have that Google Voice number call this, I think. So there are ways to get it a phone number.
Yeah, Google Voice
number. Maybe Skype's even easier. Skype, if you pay a little extra, will give you a real phone number.
Right.
And you could have Skype. Now, you need to keep that program running in there and all that.
Yeah, you could FaceTime.
FaceTime, same thing.
You could call. I mean, I call with my iPad, and it doesn't even have cell.
You don't make phone calls.
You can call.
Oh, you know why? Because it's calling through your phone.
Right, right.
You have an iPhone.
You're right.
And so it can make calls with iPhones. But if he's saying, and, you know, I often thought this, the iPad mini is like a really big phone. I mean, it's close enough to phone size that if you just wanted to carry one device, if you put software on there that let you take phone calls, then you wouldn't need an iPhone.
Right.
So it's not quite an iPhone. It doesn't have, you know, you're not using a carrier's cell phone service. You're using data service. But for a lot of people, that's fine.
Well, I just bought Huck and Milo. I just bought them the iPhone 8s. And they were $600 each.
Wow.
So that's a little
This is a lot less.
Well, it's $529 for the cell.
Yeah, well, $80.
I mean, for two, it's less. And it's more, like, I see them, like, I see Milo playing Fortnite on his iPhone. And, I mean, this would be a much better device for Fortnite, I would say.
Oh, in fact, I have a friend. I gave my old iPad mini to a 12-year-old friend who plays Fortnite on it, and he's very happy with it.
Yeah.
So it's fine for Fortnite.
Right.
Yeah.
So I kind of wish I had waited, because then I wouldn't have to pay for a cell plan either, and we could just talk via iMessage or...
I'm just going to see if I can call my my iPad. Because this iPad has a Google Fi SIM in it.
Mm.
So this is the Skype phone number that I pay for.
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. So I'm getting a phone call.
From yourself.
From myself.
The call is coming from inside the house.
Hello.
Hello,
Leo.
Hello, Leo.
Well, I'm talking to myself.
I'm talking to myself.
That's really confusing. Okay, so that's working. Now, here's another test. I'm going to hang up on you now, Leo, okay?
Okay.
So here's another test. Do I have to keep Skype running
for
that to work? By the way, you don't have to cut off the left edge. These are all just a bunch of people who I don't know trying to be my friend. So let me call it again. I've closed Skype. And you know Apple's very aggressive about closing background processes. Mm-hmm. So I bet you Skype will have to be running for it to ring the phone. Yeah, see, it's not answering.
Did you get a notification or no? Sad.
Well,
you turned all notifications off.
I've turned off all notifications, yeah. So maybe you'd get a notification. So that's going to be the trick, is to incoming phone calls. But placing phone calls, no problem.
But I think that, yeah, the issue with Steve from Albuquerque is he didn't want to just give his kid a device
phone.
He didn't want to give him a phone or a device that had no way. Like, if you don't have Wi-Fi, you can't communicate. Right? Like, so when my kids are somewhere where there's no Wi-Fi, if they just had an iPod, they couldn't communicate. But so they couldn't use anything.
But if you put the LTE chip in,
right,
they're always online as long as they're within cell signal.
Right.
Of course,
so
it's possible.
If they need
to
be picked up and they're, you know, away from Wi-Fi,
yeah, there's a way they can text.
Message. Yeah.
Apple Messages works.
Right.
And outbound calls with FaceTime,
yeah,
or any number of programs, including Messages, works.
Yeah. So you could.
It's inbound calls that would be a little tricky because I don't know how you would get that, receive that.
Right.
You don't have to play with that because iPad Mini actually would be a nice phone.
Yeah, it'd be good for also schoolwork and research YouTube and Minecraft. And
now, this isn't the only iPad they announced. They also announced a new, I thought this name was long gone, iPad Air.
Mm-hmm. The iPad Air.
It's basically the same.
Yeah, it's $500, $629 for LTE. It works with the old Apple Pencil as well.
They could have called this the Classic.
Yeah, they should have.
Yeah.
Well, the crazy naming is the Apple Pencil naming because they're just calling it Apple Pencil and Apple Pencil. And so the only way you know is that little silver
band. Silver band.
They haven't called it the 1 and the 2, which is crazy, or the Classic or the Apple Pencil Pro or whatever. But 10 hours of battery life, A12 Bionic chip. They say it's perfect for AR. They say this about they've got the AR cameras on them. So that's something new.
It's funny how, honestly, this was a great iPad until about a year ago when they released the new iPad Pros, mm-hmm, and less than a year ago. And now I feel like, well, it's going backwards. It's not. And I think a lot of people would be very happy to get this. And
yeah,
it does give them now several new price points. You've still got the $329 basic iPad. If you want the features that used to be called Pro, but aren't anymore, you could get the new iPad Mini or the iPad Air at, what was it, $399 or $499.
Mm-hmm.
So that does give them a nice range of price points. I think this makes sense. It's a little inelegant to have two pencil types, but we're in a transitional period,
I think. Yeah, I guess we are. I get it, and I think we would have all complained. Like, people would have really complained if you had to buy a new pencil. Like, they did. We complained when we had to buy a new pencil for the Pro, but, you know, we were also buying, when I say we, I mean you, were also buying a super expensive iPad, you know? So you didn't really mind so much. But, yeah, so we take a look at this, find the right Apple Pencil for your iPad. This is just crazy. Apple Pencil or Apple Pencil. Like, find which
they
one.
They could have at least called it 2.
Yeah,
right?
Or anything. And it's just, these are compatible with the Pros, and then these are compatible with the old Pros and the Mini and the, I guess, the iPad 6th generation.
Does the old Apple Pencil work with the least expensive iPad? I guess not, the base model.
The one they just called.
The 329.
Well,
they just
it says
call
it iPad 6th generation.
Oh, all right. So I guess it works across the board.
Yeah.
So there's a distinction. There's the Pro Pencil and the Pencil.
Right. And I think it would be a stretch for them to call it a Pro Pencil because it doesn't do anything else that besides charge up here. So, yeah. I mean, which is great because otherwise you were, charging it out the butt of your iPad, which was no fun for anyone.
Oh, you don't have to charge it out the butt anymore?
No. You know that.
This pencil,
yes,
you don't.
That's the only difference. The old one, you still have to charge.
The old one, you still plug it in.
Which means
it
has a lightning port and not a USB-C port.
In general, I dislike it when they confuse the product lines like that.
Yeah.
And you have kind of part of the product lines back in the past, part of it's in the future. But I understand also they want to offer a variety of price ranges, and that's the best way to do that.
Right, yeah. All right, so I got some stuff I want to talk about. Thank goodness you just ordered me a new iPad Mini.
You got the Mini? I don't think we need to get the Air. We kind of know what the Air can do,
yeah,
but we're going to get the Mini, and then I'll just take it from you when I want it.
Okay, sounds good. I bought a gold one.
Did you get the gold?
Of course.
Got to go for the gold.
Okay, so.
Did you get it monogrammed? Go girl.
Leo took this from me, is what it says on the back.
Stolen from Megan Maroney.
All right, so I am using a new case, a new keyboard case.
I noticed this. And did you notice that I noticed it immediately?
You did. This is the Zag keyboard case. And what one thing I love about it is it has a little space for the Apple Pencil down here. And you'll remember last week we discussed how when you have the Apple Pencil charging on the top, it's sucking battery out of your Apple Pencil.
Yes.
And so
I did a test.
Okay.
Maybe you remember we talked about this when I went home, at the end of the show last week, and I have noticed that every time I always leave my pencil here that my iPad ends up at zero before, you know, I have to bring it back in. So I did a test. I went home, it was at 77% and I didn't use the pencil. Sunday, which is what, almost a week later, it was at 38%. So there was some significant drain.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sad to say there was some power drain. It hadn't been plugged in. It hadn't really been used. But it's not as bad as when the pencil's on. So I guess the answer is yes, the iPad drains at a rate that's kind of more than it has been in the past. Maybe that's something to do with the things I'm running. I don't know. But the pencil certainly adds to the drain.
And our suggestion was keep it somewhere else. And yeah. So that's why I love this case. One of the reasons I love this case, you can keep it somewhere else. So the other reasons I love it, it's got this nice feel, this nice textured back. And it has this stand, which you can adjust
any way
that you want.
The Apple pad cover only has two angles.
Right. Okay. And
this
then
is nice.
You can separate the two.
Now, I'm looking, and I notice it doesn't have pins, so that tells me it's a standard Bluetooth keyboard.
It is standard Bluetooth.
Attached by magnets, but not using the smart connector.
Nope, no smart connector, by magnets. So you can detach it, but what I love about that, it's like, okay, well, unfortunately, it's Bluetooth. But I've been using it on a stand, so you can use it separate. Like,
very nice.
You put it up on a stand,
yeah.
up high,
yeah.
And then you can be... Have this keyboard on your lap, really far away.
Z-A-G-G.
It's also cheaper.
How much?
It's $99.
Oh, that's a good price.
Let me...
I've used Zag keyboards before on iPads.
They're a great
I think
brand.
They're very good. Yeah.
It has three places to store the pencil. Three places? No, two places. Oh, I know. The third place to store the pencil is right here. So you can set it right here so it's within reach. So while you don't have to pop it out like you saw me struggling to pop it out. So you store it there, you charge it up top, and then you just keep it there for when you want to grab it. And it has multi-pairing capabilities. So you could pair the keyboard to two different, let's say you have multi-screens. You could pair them to more than one screen and still use the keyboard and just toggle back and forth. So if you're using double screens, you can pair to both, which is really, I really like that. I also just like I haven't noticed that my pencil sucks a lot of charge, but I do lose it very often.
It's
I
nice
stick
to have
this
it
in
inside
my purse.
The case.
Yeah,
it's
so
not
it doesn't
get
just
lost.
Fall off.
Yeah.
Which
I
is
do
great.
Like that.
So I really am a fan of this case. And yes, it's not ideal to have Bluetooth. It would be great to have the smart connector. But for what it offers, being able to separate it.
That's a nice feature. And I bet the battery lasts an awfully long time. I don't think that's a big deal.
The keyboard is also has more travel than that keyboard. It's backlit, and
by the way, that's another experiment I should try: is detach the smart keyboard too, because that's probably draining.
Yeah,
iPad as well.
So tap a little bit on those keys. How do you feel? How do they feel?
Those are great. Yeah. I think they're maybe better than the Apple key.
Take a look at those.
Yeah,
they
feel good.
They're not chiclet, but I mean
they're round, which is kind of what Google was doing. Now, as you know, I have ordered the Brydge BRYDGE keyboard, and the latest mail I got from them about a week ago says final stages, development is all but done, and we are in the final stages. Pre-production has been done, so they did say March, so we're still in March. So I'm hoping that Brydge Pro will be coming pretty soon, because that's going to be another choice. That's more expensive. It's it's less expensive than the Apple keyboard. I think it's $179 for this big one, the one I have. But and it also is Bluetooth. It makes it a little bit more like a laptop. It has kind of an aluminum body and aluminum docking. So I ordered it, and $150 for the 11 inch, $170 for the 12.9 inch. And it's not out yet, but we're waiting, and we'll have a review as soon as it comes out. I know Justin Snell got a pre-production version. He liked it quite a bit, so looking forward to that. So this, if you got to have something now, the Zag looks like, frankly, a better choice than the Apple.
I really like it. I found myself using it more often because part of using that keyboard is you're kind of crunched up. Yeah. But like being able to put it up higher and then use the keyboard on your lap.
I wish they'd have a trackpad, though.
Yeah.
You've got room for it.
Yeah,
you've
I do
got
have room for the trackpad.
There. You could put it there, but Apple, I guess, doesn't support it. So.
Mike in the chat room asked if there's a Zag for the iPad mini. I don't think so. I don't think they want you to really use that with a keyboard. That's, I mean, a keyboard with the mini would be. You'd
well,
be like,
you could, though, because it's got Bluetooth.
You could connect it, but like a
so
whole
you could
case.
Use a, yeah, I don't yeah, know if there's
a case for it.
You can use this
when I get
you could use
my
Apple's
mini.
Bluetooth.
Yeah, I'm going to.
When you get your new gold mini.
Yeah. I have one more thing to tell you. I did a interview on Triangulation today. And
Leander Kahaney's new book is
out. Yes. So I talked to Leander. We're going to air the interview when the book comes out, which is next month.
Tim Cook, the genius who took Apple to the next level. Leander's the guy who wrote The Cult of Mac. He's a great, he wrote Inside Steve's Brain. He's a great Apple fan, enthusiast, but also a great journalist. Leander Kahaney's book will come out in April. But Megan already has a copy, so
I have a copy. You can. I finished it. It was great.
Is it?
And I really, I thought a lot about it today because there is a part in the book where he talks about before Cook came to Apple, went right after Jobs came back to Apple, and that was the Mac Performa days. And there were so many different models of Macs, and they all did different things.
Yeah.
And
that's what I worry about when I see these iPad proliferation.
That's what I thought too.
I worry that we're headed in that direction again. Of course, Steve very famously came back and killed everything, and just simplified the product line a lot, and that was huge.
But so. I did really love this book, and it was, I'm sure, very tough to write because he is a super private person, and there's not, you know, Apple doesn't, hasn't done many profiles. I mean,
where does Leander come down on Tim Cook as a CEO? So Tim's, of course, super competent, a great guy. He has done very well for Apple, making it the most valuable company in history. But there are some who say he doesn't have the creative spark that Steve Jobs does, and as a result, Apple doesn't seem to have a path forward with the next big thing. Does Leander address that at all?
Yeah, and he disagrees with that. He would say, I think he goes almost as far as saying that that he's the best CEO. Tim Cook is the best CEO.
In terms of performance, you can't deny that.
Yeah, and he said that Jobs really succeeded in spite of himself. Like that, you know, just really like he was a sociopath. That's what he says in the interview.
What you'd like is both. You'd like a Tim Cook and a Steve Jobs. And for a while, Apple did have that.
Right.
With Tim was this chief operating officer.
Well, that was the thing. Like, Tim's always been there.
Yeah.
He, I mean, he gets no credit for turning Apple around when it was the supply chain and he was in charge of that. Yep. And so what I think is it's a combination of the really excellent business sense and the ops, you know, just the ability to really turn around the operations of the company when they really needed to. What he really addresses is the just-in-time factories, which is something that didn't really exist before.
In a way, if you use any consumer electronics device today, if you've got IoT devices in your home, you owe Tim Cook a debt of gratitude because he turned China into the manufacturing power that it is. By sending iPhones there in 2007 for manufacture, he created a whole industry of manufacture in China that's capable of making a huge range of things. He brought the prices down of accelerometers, of GPS chips, of all sorts of components. Your drones are basically based on components that were built for the Apple iPhone. And I can go on and on and on. Mm-hmm. So Tim Cook gets credit not just for what he's done for Apple, but I think in a way what he's done for technology in general. So I will read it. I can't wait, and I look forward to the interview next month.
And I think it's really important to consider what how he's changed just the social good that companies do.
Yes.
I mean, they,
Apple was not known for its charity.
Yeah, I mean, that's the
Tim
thing. Yeah, like Steve Jobs was a hippie, but he wasn't. He didn't put his money where his mouth is. Yeah. You know, when they had the problems at Foxconn, he was like, "Oh, we're on it." Whereas Tim Cook really got in there and did audits of the, you know, the companies of Foxconn, audits of the employee practices, and really did everything that he could. And of course, you know, tries to push diversity on all levels. And I think it's pretty fascinating, too, just the fact that he is really, one of the only openly gay CEOs. And I think nobody really, I was talking to Sarah about that earlier, and she was like, oh, he is? And it's like,
hey. She didn't know that?
No.
And, well, Tim wrote an editorial piece, an op-ed piece, I think it was in the New York Times, where he came out. And he said, it's not necessary that anybody know this. It's not important. However, I wanted to be an example and a role model mm-hmm. for other gay men who might be young men who might be suffering and show that it's okay. And so it really was a courageous thing to do. Mm-hmm. And it did, I think, make a huge difference. Here's the op-ed piece.
But
either
I think
that or Tim's looking at us right now.
It's really important, I think, to consider that he wasn't openly gay. He wasn't out of the closet when he grew up in Alabama and during the 60s. And that would have been very difficult. Like, he might not have even survived with his life if he was openly gay then.
Yeah.
But he didn't come out until much later. So he rose through the ranks at IBM and Compaq and then Apple. And you wonder, like, if he was out of the closet in the 60s and 70s and even the 80s, would he have been able to achieve what he achieved? Would people have accepted him? Because, as another minority, as a woman, as a person of color, you can't hide that. You are that. And, people are going to consider that when they give you a raise or a promotion or more money. But then, so he didn't have that. But at the same time, he was hiding. Like, that act of having to hide who you really are is difficult. And
he's also deeply private.
Yes.
I think just in general, as you mentioned, this must have been a difficult book.
Right. Well, they were worried about, investors. It's a global company. So I think that part of Tim, I hadn't really given much thought to Tim.
No, I give him credit for that, yeah.
But, highly recommended if you need a spring break read.
Well, you'll have to wait because it's not out till April.
Well, yes, true. If you need a spring break read, then read something else. Read Cult of Mac or Inside Steve's Brain.
Wrote a book about Johnny Ive.
Later. Yeah, he did.
Is it Connie? Is that how he says it?
He says Canny.
Canny.
He also has an Australian accent.
Leander Canny. He's uncanny.
He used to be on Mac Break Weekly.
Did he?
He did.
Did he mention something about that?
No, I do my research, Leo.
Did you say, how come you don't ever ask me back?
No, he didn't ask.
We should get him on. I forgot all about it. We've been doing this show for about 150 years.
Yeah, it has been 150 years. Okay.
I mean, it's been a while. Abe Lincoln hasn't been on in a while either. Mm-hmm. He wasn't really a Mac guy, though.
Okay, you remember last week? I had the issue with my iPhone whenever I tried to re-sign into Google and it would say open Gmail on your iPhone 10.
I don't remember that.
Because that was 150 years ago, too, last week.
Basically, everything earlier than lunch is gone.
I was having an issue that I would try to sign into Google and I had the two-factor trusted devices two-factor. It's called Trusted Devices is what it is. And so it would say, open Gmail on your iPhone 10. And I would say, well, that's a problem since I no longer have my iPhone 10.
Right.
But what I realized was it still meant this iPhone. If I open Gmail on my iPhone 10,
Gmail's Gmail.
This is a trusted device.
Right.
But I did get an email from Mike in Tucson who said he had a similar problem with his son's iPhone. And he said he reinstalled everything to the new phone and it copied the name of the old phone to settings general about name.
That's true. Your phone might still be called iPhone 10.
Right. So I went in there and changed that.
Good.
And so, it's thank you.
I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
It's true. It will just, it depends how you set it up. But if you set it up copying the old phone, it'll just copy the name too.
Right.
I didn't even think of that.
Len writes, the reason I'm writing you is I heard 50% of the men watch porn. I'm not asking you whether that's true or not. Leo, I know you have a couple of boys, and while they were growing up, did you use parental control software? I am 70, and my nine grandchildren are always on my iPhone, iPad, desktop, laptop, and just to be safe, I would like to put some type of parental controls on the devices. So my kids are still growing up. I have never really used parental control software. I have never really believed it to work.
So the answer is yes, they are watching porn.
They are. The answer is yes, every kid. Like,
it's kind of hard.
You will see it.
Let me put it this way, Grandpa.
And you mean that in the kindest way because he is a grandfather.
First of all, I'm going to tell him how he can protect his kids on his phone
because
he doesn't want to let them do that. But they will see it somewhere else. They'll go to a friend's house. They'll borrow it. They'll see it at school. They're going to see it. It's unfortunately, but that's I mean, it's not, the porn doesn't bother me as much as some of the horrific other things that are on the internet, like this recent mass killing in Christchurch. Mm-hmm. And that video was posted, people reposted it millions of times on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube.
Yeah.
So that, to me, would be more horrific for a teenager to see.
Right.
But there are ways you can protect yourself right. and your
so
kids.
I would say, first of all, talk to your kids about it. I know it's
absolutely
uncomfortable,
the most important
but like
thing.
I've definitely embarrassed my children.
Maybe that's for mom
times.
And dad, not grandpa to do.
Right, right. Well, yeah, talk to your kids about how they
and then
want
have their, them
kids.
Talk to their kids.
Like your kids, what, you know, I'm worried about
and
this.
Here's something that we always said. If you see anything that makes you uncomfortable on the internet, tell us and we'll talk about it. It's okay, but you know, we could talk about it. And you might even say, have you seen anything that makes you uncomfortable? And, you know, and they might say, yeah, I saw grandpa.
So I have always said that to my kids and
they won't come to me.
They
things.
Have come to me yeah. just in like weird moments where they're like, oh, you know, I saw this. Like, who is the YouTuber? There's some YouTuber that is really conservative that like they'll be shown those kinds of things. And now they're old enough to understand that it's
I am with our correspondent. I mean, it makes me sad, Len, that kids today, they're growing up in a very different world. But the fact is, that's the world they're growing up
yeah.
in.
Yeah. So I was going to recommend, first of all, to go to your screen time settings on all your devices, on your iOS devices. Because that is not completely obvious that screen time would be where the parental controls are. So go to screen time and then go to content and privacy restrictions. And then you put on content and privacy restrictions. And maybe you do this every time you hand over the iPad to them. When then you can decide, iTunes App Store purchases probably don't want them to purchase anything. So you can say, you know, not allow in-app purchases. You didn't say you're worried about that, but always require a password. That's a good idea.
Can you block adult content?
Yeah, content restrictions.
Nice.
So this is for the store or for music, podcasts, and news. You can change it to clean.
You can't
clean.
Keep them for searching for adult content.
You can't keep
adult websites.
Web content. Allowed websites only.
Ah.
Limit adult websites. You can do that.
Nice.
It's not going to be perfect.
Yeah.
And, you know, first of all, like, if you're really serious about them not seeing stuff, like, that means no YouTube. And I know that is.
There's no porno on YouTube, but there's stuff that's not great.
Yes. I mean, you're saying anything can be on YouTube before they find it, you know, before the censors find it.
I've looked and I've never found. I mean,
okay, you're right. I've never looked for it, so we differ on that end. But they couldn't keep that video of the mass shooting off there. There's gonna,
no, they,
you know, if you get
they,
there at the
yeah,
right
yeah,
moment,
yeah,
you
yeah.
probably just were there 5 minutes too late, Leo. But you could probably, you know, it's
so
people
gonna,
are uploading it.
So now he also mentioned he has some other devices, including Windows machines. Mm-hmm. So the easiest way to do this is not to do it on the phone. Because frankly, the first thing kids are going to do is say, well, let's change grandpa's settings.
Mm-hmm.
You can lock them out. You can make it password protected. But that's a lot of complication, and it doesn't protect them on the other devices. So a lot of us use, and I do this, by the way, protection software that's either on the router or you can go out and buy a device. Disney makes probably the best device out there. It's called Circle. Now, many Netgear routers have Circle built in, but if you don't have a router that supports Circle, you can buy a little Circle device. You can also, if you have an Eero router, our sponsor Eero, some of the other mesh routers, they have adult content protection as well. And the nice thing about that is when it happens at the router, it kind of blocks it for all the devices. Grandpa, if you don't want to see it, it'll block it for you as well. These are all, though, in every case, subscription tools. Circle, I can't remember what it is, but it's a, you know, 20 or 30 bucks, maybe a year, something like that. Plume and Eero both have plus features that you pay around $100 a year for, and those include adult filters, content filters. Look in your router. Your router may have content filters. That's a great way to do it. There's a service also that is free, but is a little bit more complicated to set up, depending on how geeky you are, Grandpa, called OpenDNS. And I use this with my kids for years. A lot of schools use it as well, but it does require changing your DNS settings in your router, so it's a little bit more complicated. If you have an Eero, if you have a Plume, if you have a Netgear router, it's just a flip of a switch. If you buy the Disney Circle, it's just a simple thing to install. It's not nearly as complicated. But I do think that OpenDNS has something called the Family Shield that's pretty good, and they have a free version that you can set up. But it does require, as you can see, a little bit of getting in there and getting in the guts of your router. The nice thing about doing it on the router is it kind of does it for all the devices. So if the kid comes in with his own phone, you know, it'll block it automatically. You don't have to change the settings on the phone. So the iPhone does have those settings. Android phones have those settings. Windows might. I don't remember. I don't think
Windows safety. They have some of that stuff. Yeah.
But you'd have to go through every device and set it up, or you could do something on the router side.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if you're serious about it, I would suggest starting with screen time on your iPad and iPhone, and then go to allowed websites only, and then they have to talk to you every time they want. You know,
that's the other way to do it, which is to whitelist sites.
Right.
To say, so there's blacklist, where you say, don't this site, but that's never complete because there's always new sites.
Right.
Whitelisting says you only can go to these
right.
sites.
And it is hard, and it takes a lot, and kids get frustrated, but it, you know, makes for a good conversation, I think. And I know a lot of people in the chat room are saying, like, that they filter YouTube, they filter skin algorithmically, which is just a funny sentence to say. But, and I get that.
Even YouTube Kids, which is kind of curated for kids, occasionally gets content in there. It's not pornographic content, but highly inappropriate content, including recently... one mother discovered suicide instructions in some YouTube kid videos.
Well, see,
and that is, to me, it's much more problematic than, you know, some lovemaking.
And there's also the other thing that happened recently was that on kids' videos, pedophiles were putting comments into the time when it was, you know, so the other thing you need to do is what kind of content are they creating with your devices as well?
Because
it would be like three, you know, teenage girls just talking and then one showed a little bit of skin and they would point to that exact moment. So it is complicated.
But don't worry about Momo. That's not a thing.
Well, see, that's what makes it so complicated because you hear something like that and then there's this scare of like, Momo is a bird lady trying to tell all your children to commit suicide.
It's made up.
It's made up, but then there are things out there that are weird and bizarre and weirder than Momo, just like the kind of Elsa and Batman, you know, doing some weird stuff together. And that is...
The sad thing is, Lennon, you and I are of a similar generation, is the world is really... really changed in many ways for the better. And one of the things that's changed is the internet has brought the outside world into our homes. Mm-hmm. And as a result, there's a lot of great things, but there's a few not so great things. Humans aren't the greatest in some respects. And that's also being brought into your home. You could try to fight it, but I agree with Megan. The best thing to do is to have those conversations with your kids. And I think most kids want to avoid that and won't be seeking it out. If you make it forbidden fruit, sometimes that has the opposite effect.
Well, they probably will seek it out because they're curious, and that's totally normal. Like, it's totally normal to want to seek out that kind of stuff, I think.
Yeah.
And to
I worry about kids today, but...
Well, I'm just grateful that I have teenagers who didn't... I didn't have the option of handing over an iPad with YouTube on it.
Len, our parents were worried that rock and roll was going to turn us into...
Yeah, exactly. It's not... I mean, it's just...
Maybe it did. I don't know.
Well, you, for
Me,
sure.
Me, for sure.
I hear you, Len, and I love that you care about that. My children are currently with my parents right now, probably watching this show and learning all kinds of new things from that. All right, I have one more question. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Mark is looking for a good text expander app for his iPhone.
You mean text expander?
Well, that's what I suggested. Or text replacement, the feature that's already in iOS.
Yeah, so the problem with text expander, which is a commercial product from Smile on My Mac, we've talked about it, they've been a sponsor in the past, is you have to use their keyboard or a text expander aware app. Many are, for instance, the Drafts program I like, will load in shortcuts from text expander.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not universal. What is universal is Apple's own expansion facility. And if it's just a handful of things, I would say try this. I use, well, there's one I use all the time for Megan, OMW.
Mm-hmm.
When I type that, it says, I'm really sorry, Megan, I'm running late, but I'm on my way.
So this one, again, a kind of a weird place to hide it in the keyboard section. So general keyboards here.
That's where I put it.
And then text replacement. I don't know where I'd put it. But I have this special one that I love, the one where every time I type sorry, I get this. It says, stop apologizing, Megan. So that's what I use just to remind myself.
Wow. I know now why you've never apologized.
Yeah,
to
not
me.
To say sorry, to say stop apologizing, Megan, because it's true. Sometimes maybe I just need to say, maybe you're not really sorry for being late. You just want to say, thank you for understanding that I'm late, Megan. Because are you sorry? If you were sorry, you wouldn't do it every week.
You know what I did? I replaced sorry with thanks.
Oh, yeah. Thanks.
Sorry. How about that one?
Yeah. So this is good. Like when I'm requesting products, it's like product requests. Drop in your name
boilerplate.
There.
Boilerplate.
On my
handy.
Way. I have the Live Long and Prosper.
And this is available everywhere. It's not as complete as Text Expander.
No.
And Text Expander gives you all sorts of additional features.
They're also $40 a month.
Yeah. Wow. 40?
Or $40 a year.
Yeah, I don't think they're 40 a month.
40 a year.
That would be prohibitive.
40 a year.
Holy cow.
$7, $3 a month.
$3.33 a month. $3.33.
Sorry, Jean.
Jean doesn't work there anymore.
Oh, so she doesn't?
You don't need to apologize to her.
I'm not sorry, Jean. Stop apologizing, Megan. See?
I'm sorry, but it's time for an ad.
Okay.
Sorry, not sorry.
Let's talk about goats wearing clothes,
shall we? It's a good thing to have advertisers. I just want to say... Because we couldn't afford to do this show for free.
Yeah, you couldn't afford to get me that iPad mini.
That iPad mini, somebody's got to pay for that. And right now, it's actually somebody I love a lot, and I've loved for a long time, WordPress.com. You know I'm a WordPress user. I've been a WordPress.com user for 12 years, going on 13. WordPress is my site. If you go to LeoLaporte.com, or was it Elephants Wearing Goats?
GoatsWearingClothes.com.
That's Megan's weird site. Mm-hmm. Those are WordPress.com sites. Mm-hmm. WordPress makes it easy to create a website. And believe me, this is almost the most important message I'm going to tell you all day. You need to have a website. You need to have a website, a place that's yours on the net, that carries your best stuff so that when people Google your name, they find that. Yes, it's okay to have Facebook and Twitter, but they should also point back to your website. And if you're a business and you don't have a website, what? You gotta have. If you're a restaurant, somewhere for your menus, pictures of your establishment, information. If you're a plumber, details, cost, price list, even maybe a blog post or two about how to fix your leaky faucets. That's the kind of thing that gets people coming back. WordPress.com is the place to create your online presence. And it's made so easy. In fact, it was started so that anyone could publish their ideas. Matt Mullenweg, way back when he created WordPress, and I was one of the earliest users, he wanted to empower people. And WordPress still does this. WordPress.com has no two-week trials, no hidden fees. Your content is yours forever. You can upload anything, text, pictures, video, music. You can download it again anytime. It's never stuck there. And because they have a free start, not even a trial, you can use it for free. You can get started and get a site up there and then grow with it. I actually started with the free site. Now I'm up to the business plan because I want all the great features of the business plan offers. I'm telling you, you got to try WordPress. And if you ever have a question, WordPress has the most unusual support plan ever. They have WordPress experts there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And they're experts. They're not customer service reps. They're actual WordPress users, people who really understand and know WordPress. So it's like having a community that you can go to and ask questions of. I really love that. WordPress.com/twit. Do you know how many people use WordPress, including some of the biggest publications in the world? Let me put it this way. 33% of the entire internet runs on WordPress. One-third! Some of the biggest publications, some of the best blogs, some of the best businesses, they're all at WordPress.com. So here's the deal. If you go to WordPress.com/twit, you can get 15% off any new plan purchase. It's so flexible. It's so powerful. It's so easy to use. You'll never outgrow it, but it's easy to get started. WordPress.com/twit, 15% off your new plan right now. I love WordPress. I blog so much more often now that I'm back on WordPress. WordPress.com/twit.
We look amazing. And if we fall down, we'll be okay.
I'm wearing a helmet because...
It's app helmet time.
Oh, I thought it was because you were going to hit me again.
Oh, yeah, no.
This one's a a little small for me.
Yeah, mine doesn't touch either. And also, Burke bought these at a thrift store, and so let's hope we don't get lice.
So, Megan is wearing a only slightly used, is that a BB-8 or yeah. R2-D2?
It's this BB-8. This is BB-8.
Mm-hmm. And I am a dinosaur with googly eyes.
That's a puppy.
Blue puppy with googly eyes.
I don't know. Is that a thing? Is that a famous thing? I don't know. We should have asked Burke. No.
No, I'm just making the googly eyes wobble.
Okay. This is the time where we talk about the apps we've been using most this week.
And Megan has brought a glowing ball with
I have
her.
This is the Eve Flare. And Eve by Elgato is...
Oh, I yes. like Eve's stuff.
Yes. Yeah. They have a lot of smart home stuff. We've showed you their smart lights and smart plugs. I love their smart plugs. They have smart everything. And this is the Flare. It's $99. And it's similar to the Hue Go. But the Hue Go is only like... Remember we showed that and you were like amazed?
I have two of those Hue Go's.
Yeah.
They light up our living room. They do an ambient lighting thing. This is prettier, I have to say.
I believe it's prettier and...
it's bigger.
Yes, and it's IP...
kind of looks weird.
Does it look weird?
Well, it looks like something's going on. It's look like you come in the house and you see that, you think, there's something going on here.
Well, what if it were this color? Would you still think that?
Ooh. I think the stock market was having a good day.
Okay.
Can you set it up to reflect the Dow Jones Industrial Average?
Probably could.
Or the weather?
So I'm going to just show you the Eve app. It works with HomeKit, but this is the Eve app, so I can turn it down. I can make it different colors. I can turn it off. I can turn it on.
Oh, but that's the simplistic version.
Yes. So you can also handle it through the Home app. And so I have it here. It's the magic orb.
Which means you could have routines. Can you script it with if this, then that?
You could, yes.
So you could tie it to the weather
yes.
or the stocks.
Or you could just say, hey, Siri.
Yeah.
Hey, Siri.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Turn my magic orb purple. Hey, Siri. Turn my magic globe off. It says, wait, show that.
If I were you, I'd use Google Home.
It says, turn my magic globe
you
off.
You were saying?
Turn my magic globe green.
Did you accidentally summon
me? Oh, I know, because I'm calling it globe instead of orb. Turn my magic orb green. User error.
It did work. Yeah, it did work.
It did.
It went green.
So
I'll vouch for that.
You could set it to, you know, turn on at sunset, all the things that you can do.
If
the
you
automation.
Put your BB-8 hat on it and mm-hmm. turned it the same color as your BB-8, it actually would look like a BB-8.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Turn it beige. Just do beige.
You were saying.
Turn my magic orb brown. Make my magic orb brown.
So painful.
Okay, brown it is.
No, brown it is not.
That's an interesting look on brown.
It's
but
not
I think
brown.
He's really orange, right? Turn my magic orb orange.
Okay.
That looks like that's good.
Yeah.
There you go.
So yeah. I can, have it turn off or on at 10. I can, when, you know, it comes on only when someone arrives home, when someone unlocks the door. You can do all that automation here. So, like, let's say when people arrive, when anyone arrives, location home, then I can do default magic orb. And so when anyone arrives home, it turns on. Or when anyone leaves, you can, you know, all that automation that HomeKit allows you to do, you can do. And it's IP6 water resistant, so you can keep it outside.
Oh.
Which is nice. And it's portable, so it's charging on its base, but I can.
I like this. How much is this?
$99.
Is that roughly the same as the Go?
The Go, I think, is a little more expensive, but.
So I might get this.
Yeah, so you can say it's movie time, and then, you know, it'll turn whatever color. Remember how magical you thought the Go was when you realized you could take it off the thing?
Yeah, that is pretty magical.
I'm going to throw it at you. Are you going to catch it?
Yeah.
It's not glass. That's good.
It's rather light.
This is the Yves Flair.
Mm-hmm. The Hugo.
You know what I'm going to do?
That is.
I'm going to paint the globe on it.
Oh, yeah.
And then we can have a special event in Saudi Arabia.
The Philips Hue Go white and color portable dimmable. It's a little bit cheaper right now. It's $79.99. Okay.
But it doesn't look it. It's a half a globe.
Yeah, it's half. You need to buy two of them.
Yeah.
Yves Flair. Let's see how much the Yves Flair is on Amazon.
So I like this better, honestly, than the Go.
Yeah, $99 on Amazon. Yeah. And the Go, you also need a Hue bridge.
This doesn't require a bridge.
No, Eve, of all of the smart home products I've tried, they're all, the Eve products are always a little bit more expensive.
You just put them on the Wi-Fi, though.
They work with HomeKit. They only work with HomeKit. They don't work with anything else besides HomeKit, which means that they have a little bit more security. Like, you can be
right.
More
private.
It's there. It's the fact that you are telling your magic orb to turn blue, that is encrypted.
No one will know
you
that.
No one will know. Well, no. You know, when you're talking about, like, when I come home, when I leave, that is information you might not want to trust with a random company. So that's the thing about Eve. A little more expensive, only available through, only works with either the Eve app or HomeKit. But, you know, your light preferences are encrypted and private, just between you and me.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what do you have?
Oh, well.
Feast your eyes on this lovely postcard.
I am beautiful.
I sent Megan for her birthday.
It's when we looked at the picture, the first time I looked at it, it didn't look like I was that
you
hairy.
Have flyaway hair. There is something going on with your hair there. This is an art card, and it's actually was mailed. It has a real stamp on it.
Mm-hmm.
Mailed from New York, New York to Megan Maroney. And I just wrote some stuff on here. Good morning, Megan. Enjoyed your cuppa. I don't know what that means.
That was my cup of coffee.
Yeah. Art Card is a free app. But if you want to mail physical postcards, obviously, you'll need... I'm going to make another postcard of Megan. But look, this is kind of like Prisma where it has a variety.
That is really nice.
You like that?
I like that photo
That is even hairier.
Yeah. Could you make my
Now you look like a witch.
A little smaller.
Ooh, I like the black and white. It's like the M.C. Escher nose.
Mm-hmm.
You want to look like Candy?
Ooh.
God.
It's like, oh, that's good too.
These are not flattering.
I definitely look like a witch in most of these.
Okay, like I'm going back. I'm going to take a different picture. Okay. How about a nice, loving picture
of
my wife and myself?
Make you guys hairy.
What could possibly go wrong? Oh, my God. Okay. If there's somebody you really don't like...
That's nice.
The skin's a little scaly, shall we say.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know what? That one wasn't so bad. Mm-hmm. That's kind of fun.
You should never shoot a picture like that from that angle, you.
Is that a bad angle?
Yeah. I mean, Lisa looks beautiful, but you know.
Well, I got more chins than the Chinese phone book, but that's okay. That's who I am. Okay, there's a nice one. Except for Lisa's teeth. So everything has a negative, a downside.
Oh,
yeah. Whoa. Okay. You know what? This is the worst app cap ever because it takes any picture and makes it look horrific. So now I'm going to save it. For $1.99, I could buy it. I think I did. Let me just see if I can restore my purchases. That's not good. So the watermark's going to be there. Now, who wouldn't want that in your living room? Right? So now that it's an artwork, there's all sorts of things you can do with it. They have canvas printing service. You can print giant prints, handcrafted, all of that stuff. So we can order a print. Something went wrong. Bad timing to go wrong, Art Card. This is your big shot. There we go. Digital masterpieces. So I could get a canvas of it. $39. That's not bad.
No, okay. For a canvas?
Okay. Not bad. Not bad.
Get you that one.
Try and get a canvas of that. Where'd my app go? Okay. Okay. Let's go back to Art Card. I guess I'm stuck here. I'll buy that later.
It really is cocktail time.
It is cocktail time. This is what I did. I did a postcard. So these are physical postcards. Automatic cropping. I'm going to remove the watermark later. It's got some little hiccup in this get along. So there we go. Now I'm going to write something on it. So let's show the backside. And this is, and it really does put a real post, a real stamp on it, which is kind of wild.
Mm-hmm.
You click here to write. I can write a message.
I thought that was your handwriting, even.
It's pretty handwriting looking. This is how we look in 100 years. Okay. I could do the shipping. You could put the address it's going to go to. And then the payment. And I think it's like a couple of bucks to mail a card. I think that's how much it costs to make this. Be careful, because frankly, I didn't expect this to look so god-awful. But at least it's a physical card. It's a real postcard-sized card. I'm still a fan of Bill Atkins' photo card. But I was looking for other ways to send postcards. And this is a kind of a nice one. This is Art Card. It's the same people who do mypostcard.com. Picasso, I like the name, Picasso. And it's free, and you can play with it, save out the images. Those cost you nothing. But if you want to get a giant print or a postcard printed, you can also do that. Art Card, ARTCARD by Picasso. Get it? Picasso.
I get it.
Only it's B.
I get it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think this would look so horrific.
I loved it. It was the best birthday gift I got.
Happy birthday, Megan.
You don't.
Oh. Just going to slide that over on your side.
Turn my magic orb blue.
Okay. Blue it is.
Blue it is.
It really looks white in this all this
kind
light.
Kind of purpley, really.
Well, I really enjoyed this evening episode.
Oh, that's blue. There you go. Now it looks blue. You know what you can do, which is really cool? You can have it match the color of your TV show.
Oh, yeah.
That's fun to do.
That is good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this episode. I don't know if anyone else did, but I did.
Yes. Yes.
Where can people find us? twit.tv/iOS?
Everywhere you want us to be. Yeah, yep. The best place to do is go to twit.tv/iOS because there are audio and video versions of the show there, but you can also get information about how to subscribe in your favorite app. You can watch us do the show live. We're a little early this week. Normally we're at 9 a.m. Pacific on Tuesdays. That's noon Eastern, 1600 UTC. Tomorrow, we won't be here because we'll be streaming at 10 a.m., an hour later, the event from Google's keynote from the Google Game Developers Conference. It's going to be, I think, a new Google streaming game service, perhaps new hardware as well. So we thought we'd cover that live. So we'll be here tomorrow at the same time, but doing something a little different. Next Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific, we will see you here. And that's twit.tv/live for the live stream.
Mm-hmm.
If people want to ask a question, we get great questions. We love that.
We really do. Megan@twit.tv.
Email Megan.
Yeah. Put it up on YouTube and make it private or public and send me the link. Or you can share it through iCloud, too, which is fine. The videos would be great. Make them short, under 30 seconds.
That's better. First name only. City of origin. That's kind of fun at the beginning.
Yeah.
Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time on iOS Today. Bye-bye.